Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Crevetti Ortho. How are you? You didn't get the message. It's T-shirt day. I don't know if
I clearly missed the memo. I mean, yeah. I'm a little disappointed that nobody let me know.
Well, you're a doctor.
It's hot outside. I got a suit on. Come on.
I know it is. It's pretty hot with a suit. Let's start off with NBA Summer League's here. Every year in NBA Summer League, and we talked to you a lot about last year with Markelle Fultz and his injury and how that knocked him out. And what happens is they all come, and the top draft picks will play a game or two, and then if any tweak at all comes, we saw what happened with Mo Wagner about the knee contusion. Anything happens, obviously they pull these guys off right away. It's not worth playing in the Summer League. Mm-hmm. Marvin Bagley had a pelvic injury that he's going to miss the rest of Summer League. If this is the regular season, can you play through the Marvin Bagley pelvic injury, or would they shut him down anyway?
So in the regular season, a pelvic injury depends. I mean, it's so unspecific, pelvic injury.
What that
right?
means and how serious it is.
Is this a hip pointer? Like, did he right. whack his hip on the ground falling down? Did he strain his groin? Did he pull a muscle that attaches to the pelvis? It's so vague. It gives you zero info. I think you're exactly right when you're talking about, hey, this is summer league. You know, if this guy's hurt, why risk it? Why push it? Let's keep him safe. Let's keep him healthy, and let's pull him out. We saw what he could do. Let's work on what we can and preserve him for the regular season. So in the regular season, of course, these guys are pushed much harder. So I think it's, you know, hopefully something very minor, and he's right back at it.
Now, Trae Young has continued to play. I don't know if they shut him down yet, but he is actually having some of his best games of late because he did not shoot the ball well at all the first part of summer, and then here in Vegas, right quad contusion. Obviously, he can play through that because he's been playing. He's actually maybe he needs a contusion every once in a while because he started making shots. That doesn't seem
finally sunk the basket.
Yeah, it doesn't seem overly concerning. A contusion?
No, a contusion. The trick to a thigh contusion, if you really bruise the muscle badly, the problem is the bleeding.
Right.
If it bleeds very heavily, now you have the risk of some continued problems in that site. So they usually pull them out pretty quickly, get the knee flexed. Put a lot of ice on there, and it's mostly, you're right, the activity's good for it. You want him to be moving, so you're going to get him in therapy and keep him playing a little bit and try to keep it from tightening up.
I have a buddy who sprung a new injury on me a couple weeks ago. He's a great friend from Scotland, Patrick Littlejohn. He's the maitre d' at Il Molino at Caesars, the fancy Italian restaurant. Okay. So I go over to his house to watch an England game, and he is laid up on his couch with a quad muscle that is 50% detached.
Gotcha.
He had damaged it picking up a nephew, walking out of a pool, and it all kind of conspired.
Slipped
and just
on the pool
pop.
And pop. And went.
The pain was just immense. Is that something that is going to have to be addressed with surgery? Or he was telling me about, was it platelets, or what was he saying?
So anytime you have, it's all an issue of, there's always grades of muscle tears and partial thickness tear, strain, full thickness tear. It's all into that. A tricky dynamic of who's this person, how much are they going to put weight on it, how much time can they take off to let it try to heal, and if it's too far torn, you have to reattach it. So if they're talking platelets, then what happens is you're trying to encourage the body to heal what's partially torn, and there's enough of what's remaining that his function shouldn't be offset.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving him just the best chance to heal it without having to cut him open and risk all the... There's risk with any surgery, and if you can avoid surgery, you try to.
Yeah. I have twice seen NBA players walk off the court with torn ACLs, Danny mm-hmm. Manning and Ron Harper. Mm-hmm. You would think that just by the tone of that injury, oh, my gosh, they'd be screaming to the heavens. There really wasn't, and they kind of walked off the court. Of course, it was addressed, and they both needed some very serious surgeries, but mm-hmm. walking off with something like that, it almost seems just such a paradox.
Well, walking off with an ACL is a little different than walking off with a torn quad, because if you mm-hmm. if you tear your quad right. now, if you tear it fully, you cannot hold your knee straight. You pick up your leg and it falls like a dead foot, like it does not stay up. If you have a torn ACL, all the muscles still function, but if you try to cut, twist, turn,
not
suddenly
that.
You have instability. So there's quite a few people that they'll limp a few steps, they start to walk it off, and you get to the bench, and that's where you check them, and it's... You know, you'll surprise yourself how many people can walk off with an ACL injury because they can.
Right.
They show up to your office, they're walking, and they say, hey, it's feeling a little better since I first heard it. And you say, well, I know it's feeling a little better, but unfortunately, there's still a big problem in there.
Garrett Richards, the Angels pitcher, and you've probably done a lot of these in terms of surgical, the UCL damage on the elbow. They're saying that he's kind of faced with dilemma now. Conservative treatments being offered indicates a partial tear. I guess he tried injections the last time. That might not be able to fix it until they do surgery, meaning lost 2019 entirely. So, and I don't know if this is the likely same fate for Ohtani with the Angels. When it comes to UCL damage, does surgery depend on the percentage of tear, or do you as a doctor want to do everything you can before you get in there?
It depends on the percentage of tear and the demand of the person.
Okay.
So I think we've discussed if you or I tear our UCL,
then it's not.
We're gonna limit your activity. We're
rehab.
Gonna let that thing start to heal, and the likelihood of it causing us a long-term problem is not very good.
Right.
But if this guy, he's like, hey, I got to pitch in the majors. This has got to keep happening. Then that type of athletic activity is gonna need the demand of that UCL. So in him, you're right. He's already tried the easier steps. He's rehabbed it. He's had the PRP injection. I didn't see in any reports that he'd already had a bone marrow aspirate, like a stem cell-based injection. But I'm sure they've given that some thought. But if you're nearing 2 years after trying the easy steps, then the glooming one-year rehab is ahead of you. And the surgery is probably going to be your next step.
I might have asked you this. Is UCL arthroscopic, or are you cutting into them?
It's open.
It's open.
Uh-huh. It's an open incision. If you see some of these pictures, you'll see the smiley face on the inner aspect of the elbow.
Okay.
And so there's a couple of them who have tattooed little smiley faces onto
on
it.
On where you went, they went in.
It's kind of funny. But it's a large open incision.
Dr. Caleb Penninger here from Crivetti Ortho. Follow him at Crivetti Ortho on Twitter. Rob Misch tells me something. I've known Misch since college. And this morning, for the first time ever, I see a huge scar in his back.
Yeah.
Tell him what you went through and how common something like this is in terms of anyone it happening.
Yeah, my whole left side from front to back, it's split open. And you can imagine the tales I've told over the years about the great white I saw in Australia.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Especially at the bars with the women. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me show you my scar.
March 86, my left lung collapsed.
Mm.
It collapsed again 4 months later. Both those times, I just wanted the temporary surgery because they told me it will very likely heal itself. It'll fill back up with air, and the bleb will blister over, and it'll be strong. Then it happened a third time, 4 months after the second time. So then I said, well, my odds are up. Go in. Make the cut. Mm-hmm. It was a simple little 45-minute surgery. He basically knitted a permanent top to my left lung and a spontaneous pneumothorax. Mm-hmm. And I was just young enough to where he could split between the ribs to go in and do the 45-minute procedure. Otherwise, they would have had to obviously break the ribs. But it's something that I was told was common in tall, young, white, thin males, spontaneous pneumothorax. And I've got a lifetime souvenir now.
There you go. A battle wound to show off to the ladies.
Right.
That's perfect.
With all kinds of stories, Michigan.
Absolutely. And so I haven't been able to, obviously, I've never scuba dived. I would never do that. I would never subject the lung to
the pressure and risk dropping the lung again. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
So I don't imagine I'm going to have anything else in the future to deal with. I would imagine after 30 years, it's pretty okay.
You've run a long course without a problem. You should keep on riding.
What would be the one most common malady you've faced with the common people out there, and what would you say would be best to prevent it?
Are you talking about just injury altogether?
Yeah, just basic.
Any injury?
Yeah.
I see, in my practice specifically, I see a lot of shoulder, and I see a lot of people who have, you have a history of being able to bench 225 pounds,
yeah.
And you come back to the gym, you do your couple warm-up sets, you're like, I could do it again.
Right.
And you push yourself too hard. So a pretty common thing we see in my practice specifically is going to be shoulder injuries, shoulder sprains, tendonitis of the shoulder. There's shoulder pain of all types is very debilitating. You reach for your seatbelt, it hurts. You reach for a dish off the shelf, it hurts. It's aggravating and frustrating. And so I see quite a lot of that, and it's great to be able to, for a large percentage of these folks, treat them with a little bit of physical therapy if they need an injection, and try to get them right back to it. A good chunk of that does not need surgery. So I'd probably say the overuse shoulder injuries are probably one of the most common.
And it's best to use your brain.
Well, yeah, it's hard to do in the moment, right? Your buddies are playing basketball. You're like, I'm still going to dunk this.
Right, exactly. Well, I've never said that, but it must be nice to say that.
I meant with the trampoline.
Right. Or the people throwing you up. Speaking of shoulders, Chris Bryant of the Cubs, Vegas guy, and it's typical Cubs are being really tight-lipped about it. They're calling it inflammation. He has attributed the problem to extra time in the batting cage, shoulder inflammation. it's not a lot of information in terms of being a precise recommendation, but he hasn't been the same this year. Mm-hmm. Could it be as simple as his shoulder's inflamed, or do you think there's other things that might be going on?
I watched one of his interviews, him talking about this, and he described it that it's his lead shoulder while batting, because he's a right-handed player, and so his left shoulder's leading, and there is a syndrome called batter's shoulder.
Really?
And what that is the lead shoulder, the amount of push you put as you swing the bat and bringing the bat around, you actually irritate and injure the labrum inside this. It's not like a shoulder dislocation labrum injury. This is more of a repetitive and kind of a pinching labrum injury. So when he was talking about what he feels and how he feels it, that's where my thought process went. Like you said, they're tight-lipped. They're not talking about it, but that'd be my prediction, what he's got. And a little bit of time off of the batting cages can let that rest, and if he needs to do some therapy and exercises to help it, hopefully we see him have no continued problems. But in a guy who reportedly has a lot of increased batting and is complaining of shoulder pain the way he is, I wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what's going on.
You also, and you hear about this with a lot of athletes. Again, these are injuries, the shoulder, what Yasiel Puig has had, that unless, I guess, you're their body and feeling it, you're just not sure. But Yasiel Puig of the Dodgers, right-handed hitter, right oblique strain, and as we're talking about hitting it, the right-handed hitter serves as the brakes during the follow-through. It says it tends to affect less power with the left oblique strain, but is it likely to suffer in a second injury? So if your oblique has been strained on one side and it's weakened, is there a better chance you might strain the other one or re-injure the one he's already
hurt? Probably re-injure the one you've already hurt. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is one of those nagging chronic problems that some guys will have to deal with.
If you keep playing for a season, it's not going away.
It may linger and bother you throughout the season. And, you know, they'll get to a point where they can keep at it, but they feel it. And they push through it, and in the off season they get it to go away. But a lot of times once it starts, it's a troubling one to make it totally disappear while they're on the active roster.
Dr. Penninger worked with Dr. James Andrews, you know, the famous Tommy John
pioneer.
Surgeon. Yeah, the pioneer of it. And we haven't talked to you about that in a while because his name always comes up. What was, in terms of you, the best? I mean, you could have worked under a lot of people. Now you're with Mike Crivetti over at Crivetti Ortho. But working with Dr. Andrews, what do you think you most took from that? Not technically, because we're not going to be able to understand that anyway, but watching him work on a daily basis and having kind of that aura about him within the sports world of if something happens, like he's always the one quoted. He's always the one quoted. He is. I mean, maybe others are, but he's always seems to be the preeminent expert, either whether it be the Tommy John or whatever these surgeries are. His opinion always seems to matter.
It does. It's a wealth of experience. And that's what it really comes down to. I mean, the quantity of professional athletes, the experience he's had with them, seeing things work, seeing things not work, knowing what to do when it does or doesn't. I mean, he's the one that, you know, and you'd find a lot of guys around the country, if there's a problem, they'll give him a call.
Right.
Hey, have you seen this happen before? And that's why he's been at this quite a long time, and he's had such a great experience in terms of seeing things change, seeing things evolve, and he's seen what works and what won't.
And he's operated on some of the most famous and successful athletes. Mm-hmm. And as a doctor, and I know you want every surgery to be precise and perfect, no matter who it is, but when you saw him and worked with him and those kind of level of athletes going in there knowing what that arm is worth, is it not human nature to have a little more nervousness to you? I mean, you want, like, if I, you know, I blow the arm, you want my surgery to be perfect. I get all that. But when it is the guy making $30 million a year and you walk into an operating room and you know that, you know, what you do is going to bring him back or not, have you felt that nervousness? I mean, is there that apprehension when you're operating on an athlete of that level?
There is. And you're right also that there is that same nervousness with everybody, right?
Right.
I mean, every one of the people we work with day in, day out is somebody's mom,
right,
somebody's brother or sister, somebody's child. And we want that person to be able to be as happy and successful as the professional athlete.
Right.
And, of course, their expectation out of surgery may be different, and that's probably the hardest part is people's expectations. I mean, we have great success with rotator cuff surgery,
right,
and with labrum surgery, but not everybody's hitting a 350-pound
right
person on a regular basis, you know?
Yeah.
So that, of course, is different. But in terms of, you know, how was it working with him, he's, you know, cool as ice. He doesn't get rattled. He stays right to it. And it was great opportunity to see, and I think that's helped me. You know, if something in the operating room does not feel like it's going how you want it to, you take a deep breath, you reevaluate, and you know what to do, and you proceed.
Right.
There's something to be said about not changing what you do from, if you're doing an ACL reconstruction on you versus if you're doing it on Drew Brees.
Right.
If you do something different to Drew Brees that you don't do to everybody else, are you doing a disservice to him? Because right. hopefully you're already giving everybody else the best appropriate care.
Right, exactly.
So why would you change what you do for the pro?
How often were you in with him during surgeries?
Oh, every couple times a week.
Okay, so you would be
and
in there
the office the rest of the time.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. I was by his side the whole time.
How many doctors will he have with him in his practice before they, like you, go to Crivetti or their own practices?
Oh, he's had probably hundreds of fellows over the years. I mean, he has trained and been involved in the education of countless surgeons, really.
That's awesome. I mean, I it's been just decades and decades you've heard his name. Mm-hmm. Does he still practice this full-time?
Still does, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Still at it.
Dr. Caleb Penninger, follow all of them, Mike Crivetti, Caleb Penninger, Thomas Cusera, the three doctors over there, the main ones on the page there. Follow them on Twitter, at Crovetti Ortho, C-R-O-V-E-T-T-I, Ortho, O-R-T-H-O. Best in Las Vegas there is if you have some kind of hip, knee, shoulder, elbow, sports medicine injury for pain relief. Doctor, we appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Hey, I wanted to check. Did we ruin your buddy last week? There were photos that submerged about.
Did you see these pictures?
Saw.
Bug him.
We scared
now.
Him off. Is he guys ever
no,
coming
no,
back?
No,
he took
a
week off to recuperate.
He went on vacation. Poor Clay Baker, and ever since we took the picture of you taking him a shot, giving him a shot down there on the floor in his ass. I every once in a while, even if I'm up at 2 a.m, I'll just text him that picture. I put it back out on Twitter today. I will just continue to put this out back on Twitter, and you can imagine the people who didn't like they weren't listening to the show that day or they weren't watching.
They're
the
thinking,
response
what
was like,
is he
what
doing?
Is this guy doing? And who's giving Clay that shot? What's happening
what's
to you?
What's this radio show?
I ought to beautiful. Check my online reputation. Maybe I'm part
great.
Of the conspiracy now, yeah, because I should have been thinking about that.
Now, that shot you gave him, he should be fine. Now, he was in here this morning bopping around. In fact, I got to give you credit, Dr. Penninger. It's the quickest I've seen Clay move from point A to point B this morning, so good for him.
There you go. Success. I love it.
All right. Lateral movement was incredible.
Thanks, great. Doctor. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
catch
guys.
You up soon. Caleb Penner from Crivetti Ortho on Twitter. Back after this in the press box.